Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I remember reading a story. It might be an Aesop's fable, I am not positive about this, about a landowner who said, "I will give you as an inheritance all the land that you can go around in one day." So whatever land you can go around in one day, that's yours. Human beings are rather selfish and greedy. And so this one fella, he starts out at a light trot to, first of all, go his first quarter of the way. And he wants to stretch it just a little bit, so he goes just a little bit extra. Then he goes the second direction, like toward second base. Then he's getting a little winded. He has to pick up the pace as he gets all the way over to third in this little picture. And then he is really out of breath and runs like mad and falls dead as he gets back to where he started to complete his square. That's all of us. None of us can ever really accomplish everything we want. We all fall short of the glory of God. We may not fall short of our own expectations. What usually happens is we're doing fine with ours. It's everyone else who falls short of our expectations for them. And when they do, we can carry it around in a nice big bucket of, look what they didn't do, and look how they failed me, and look at what's wrong here, and look at what's wrong there. Because whether we know it or not, or think about it in terms of law, we all have certain expectations of life for ourselves and other people. And not only that, but nobody else ever measures up. Not completely, not all the time. You know that old phrase, you can please some of the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. Not at the circus and not in life. And so Paul writes to Jewish Christians in Rome who believed that they were able to accomplish everything. They still saw themselves on their journey doing just fine, not realizing they were going to run out of gas too. Well, God has one very easy expectation of us. Love me with all your heart, and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, and I'll give you life everlasting. We have already failed. We have already fallen short, because if nothing else, we have found fault with God for what's wrong in this world. And it doesn't matter if it was 23 years ago that we did that. The stain remains. Every one of us, as fallen human beings, are finally going to end up with nothing more than a place to be laid to rest. Can't be any other way, because all of us fall short of the glory of God. Not that that's to be a downer, but a reality check. What is it really? Well, if we can't, either we ought to close shop or celebrate that God has done something for us that we can't do for ourselves. The stain of our sin on our heart and in our mind and in our hands and in our actions, that stain is still there. It's not as if it's gone and now we're perfect people doing what we can. It is that it has been covered. Covered by the bloodshed of Jesus Christ on the cross. Completely, fully, for every human being. You have never seen a human being for whom Jesus did not die. Even if they've never heard the name Jesus. Even if they use Jesus only to curse him. He died for all. Because he wants every one of us at peace with him forever. And it's not at the price of you have to do this and you have to do that and you better measure up and you better show you're worthy. It is simply acknowledging that when the Spirit of the Almighty God opens our heart to say, I desire to be a Christian, I desire that peace with the Almighty God, we can be assured we have that peace. We are saved by God's undeserved love, by grace, through believing. So when Paul writes to the Jewish Christians in Rome about the Gentile Christians in Rome who are carrying around the bucket of they don't do this and they don't know that and they haven't done this and that, he says, you don't live that way before God either. The law describes what God built us to be, and we can't be that. We've already failed. We've already stumbled and fallen. We have the stain of our own rebellion against God and ourselves and each other. Sometimes front and center, sometimes thinking, I'm doing fine, nothing's wrong with me. But before God, every mouth gets zipped shut. No one is going to stand before God and mouth off and say, yes, but. Because before the Almighty God, we will finally recognize that we are not what he built us to be. The law in our life as Christians guides us to know what are we in Christ. And so it's wonderful to learn what has God given us as guidance to live out our life as Christians. But to try to get into that relationship, it will simply end up with us stumbling and falling time and again. And instead of acknowledging that we need help, we will simply place the blame on everyone else that we can try and look clean. Before him, all of that's gone. But it's gone not just because it doesn't work. It's gone because God says, I've got a better deal for you. I give you a restoration to that eternal life through my son's bloodshed on the cross. And thus you can stand at peace with me, and thus you can stand at peace with yourself and with others. Love them as I have loved you. So it means looking out into our world, not with the idea of how much can I grab and get, but how can I build a bridge to be loving and caring for others in my world? How do I make sure I'm not the one who makes the trouble, that I'm not the one carrying around what's wrong with everyone else? And so we come to worship and say, Lord, here's all of what we carry around. Frustrations with others, disappointments in ourselves, foolish lies about ourselves. We bring it all before you. Scrub us clean. Take away the stain. Help us to look at ourselves as those who are yours. Help us to desire and rejoice that we can be Christians. That it's not just, well, I guess I got to try to be good. But that we get to say, we're living in the power of the resurrected Lord. And his power is at work in us to bring peace into our lives and the lives of those around us. We can go back and try and keep on finding fault and blaming everyone but ourselves. Or we can finally say, Lord, help me to realize how I can go forward in your name, in the peace that you alone can give. That means that for us, every single day is a day to have our lives reformed in his image. Luther says this is that each day we drown the old Adam, that we say, I don't want to live that way anymore, and that we rise to a new life in our baptism every single day and celebrate who we are and whose we are, now and into all eternity. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.